we will do our best to encourage us to either pray or praise. Amen? One or the other. The title of the message, Silence is Sin. Silence is sin. And you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, we'll read the scripture, and I won't preach for an hour and a half this morning or this evening, and let you out of here in plenty of time to go home and rest so you can go to bed. Amen? And James chapter 5 and verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is no option to being silent. Amen? So, since you have your Bibles, let's read it out loud together. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. One more time. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, there is really not an option here, but either to pray or to praise. You have to do one or the other. And so whatever difficulty or whatever blessing you're getting, we're commanded what to do. So with the Lord's help, we're going to take a little bit of our time tonight and think about these two thoughts. Affliction is simply adversity. It can be any kind. It's not just physical adversity. Layman Strauss said this passage of Scripture from here down through verse 16 is one of the greatest controversial passages of all time. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I think this is pretty simple to understand. If you're afflicted, pray, and if you're not afflicted, praise. And to do any other thing is the wrong thing. Amen? And so, affliction, as we know it many times, can be a variety of things. It can be physical affliction. Somebody can be going through physical trouble. I read a story about a rabbi who said this: if he got sick, he wouldn't let his family publish it for a day. Then if he was still sick on the second day, it would be published so his enemies could rejoice and that his friends would pray. I thought that was interesting to think of. Amen. There are financial adversities. People are always in need of financial help and have the financial adversities that come along in life. Sometimes there's things that come to us that we're unprepared for. And if you're prepared, praise the Lord, but sometimes unprepared things come in your life. And then there's parental adversity that comes, the troubles and the problems that weigh heavy on our hearts as parents. And those things that we lose sleep over during the night, the souls of our children and grandchildren, the spiritual condition of such. And then there's the spiritual adversity. The devil's always attacking, the world's attacking. The flesh is always rebelling against the things of God and us being obedient unto the Lord. There's many examples in the Bible of Old Testament and New Testament of men and women that were afflicted in their life. I think of those in the Old Testament who were some widows and who lost children and bear the great suffering of losing a child. That was an affliction. I think about Elijah and Elisha who dealt with both of those cases in the Old Testament. I think about like Jacob who went through affliction of losing his son, Joseph, and being lied to about it, not knowing that he was lied to. And as far as we know, he never did know what happened. Joseph never told, and as far as we know, of course, the boys never told. We think of men like David who went through affliction. David, many of the psalms that David wrote was out of a time of affliction. I read one writer who said Psalm 3, I would have to read just a portion of it real quick, but let me read it for you, and I think you'll catch it. He said this, Lord, how are they increased that troubled me? Many are they rise up against me. And it was one of the writers that said, if it's a psalm, why is he weeping? And if he's weeping, why is it a psalm? Amen? I mean, that's this. We think about weep with those that weep, but you know, why is that? And so a lot of David's psalms were written out of times of difficulties and problems and troubles that he went through. And of course, we carefully mention Job, who was suffered such affliction of life, of losing his children and his wealth and his health and the affliction that he went through. I think there's all of us in this room that have been through some kind of an affliction. One of these that I've mentioned, or maybe something that I didn't mention. We know that emotional affliction, some of the prophets went through great times of depression and distress of mind and heart because of the conditions that they were under. And so adversity or affliction is a part of life. It's not going to get easier. You're not going to be stress-free. I can tell you whenever stress has got me, it starts right here in my shoulders, and it gradually, I can just feel it working up into the top of my neck and into my head, and all of a sudden I have this blessing of a headache. And I can tell you that I know at that moment that I have allowed things of this world to overwhelm me rather than coming to God in prayer. I want you to take your Bibles just for a moment to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Hopefully your pages are not stuck together there. But in 2 Chronicles 33 is Manasseh. And Manasseh was, he just didn't do what he could have done. In fact, the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Like the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And it went through some of the things that he did in his life and some of the troubles and problems, and God tried to teach him and God tried to reach him. And he just wouldn't have it. He just wouldn't have it. He just wouldn't listen to what God was saying. He was rebellious against the Lord. And God had about enough of that. And I only bring this up because sometimes affliction is a direct result of God's judgment upon you and me for disobedience. And so in chapter 33 and verse 9, so Manasseh made Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. That's quite a verse, isn't it? Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. They wouldn't listen. We're not going to do what you say. We're not going to listen to the preacher. We're not going to listen to the prophet. We're not going to listen to the law of God. We're just do what we want to do, and you can think what you want about it. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them captains of the hosts of the Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns. Now let me explain to you what that means. They drug him through the thorn patch. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a thorn. A thorn is bad enough. But through the thorn patch is not the most desirable place to be. And bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Now, notice verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. Amazing how James might have brought that up, huh? And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he is God. You know, sometimes Christians have to go through some extreme difficulties to realize that God is God, and they are to be the servant of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you listened to all of that or not, but in his affliction, he besought the Lord. In his trouble, he was under the judgment of God, and he besought God at that time. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian long enough, and I've been in difficulty long enough to know this. that usually whenever affliction comes, I'm not always as quick to pray as I ought to be. I'm quick to get out of it, but I'm not quick to pray as I ought to be. Affliction many times is brought into our lives to bring us to the place of prayer. A place whenever we cannot do anything but depend upon God. In Manasseh's case, there was no one to help him but God, because God had him in this case. And in your life and in my life, the difficulties that we face are designed of God to bring us to our knees and to our communion with the Father. So often our prayer time is very limited based on the circumstances of the day and the events of the day. But you know, whenever trouble comes, it's amazing how you find time to pray. And I'm not talking about just casual praying. I'm talking about seeking God until He hears, until He moves, until He responds. That's the kind of praying that ought to be done each and every day. But God many times has to bring affliction. Now, I don't know about you, but there is nothing about the word affliction that makes me think, can't wait to get some affliction. Amen? It just does not appeal to me. All right. Well, if you're a word studier and you like the word affliction, raise your hand and we will begin to pray. No, we don't like affliction. I do not like any kind of difficulty in my life of the slightest kind. I like everything to go my way. I do not like being interrupted in anything. But you know what? That is not life. That is not life. I know that many of you, we have been blessed for many years. Whenever our children were born, no problems at all. Grown children, no problems at all until this thing with Hannah. Philip went through that time a little bit ago, but other than that, we have really been free from affliction of physical trouble. Some families have not been so blessed. But we have up until now. And you know, whenever you go through afflictions, and I think it's an affliction. By the way, I think you know if it's an affliction or not. What I might not think is an affliction, you may think is an affliction, because you're going through it. I just think you ought to suck it up and go on. But to you, it's an affliction. And you may leave looking at me and say, come on, preacher, just suck it up and go on. But to me, it's an affliction. And it brings us to the reality of how much we need the Lord. So James tells us what to do whenever we're in affliction. Pray. Pray. Boy, you can't get any simpler than that. Whenever affliction comes, don't run to the doctor. Don't run to the dentist. Don't run to the psychiatrist. Don't run to here and don't run there. Don't run to the social media group. Let's all say amen. Run to God. God is in control. Is any afflicted among you? Is there anybody in trouble today? Anybody got a heartache and a problem? Pray. Well, I'll tell you what, you ought to underline, I have that underlined in my Bible in 2 Chronicles 33. Old Manasseh prayed. You know what prayer is? It's a humility thing. It's humbling our hearts before God. I think of Nebuchadnezzar, that great king who was told by Daniel the prophet, the head of gold was his kingdom. And you know, he had to think about that for a long time. About 12 months he began to think about that. And he built that great statue of, probably not of solid gold, but maybe of solid gold, at least overlaid with gold, that statue of gold, and laid out there in the desert there of Dura. And he got everybody out there and he said, you know what? I am quite the man. I tell you what, if it wasn't for me, this world would be in a heap of a trouble. Boy, got everybody out there and they're clapping and singing and praising him. I mean, oh, hallelujah for Nebuchadnezzar. And then God showed up and said, I'm going to let you know who you are and who I am. And after 12 months, on one day, this great king who lived in the palace lost his mind and went out into the wilderness and lived like an animal. And then God was gracious and brought him back. And his conclusion was this: I know he's God and I'm nothing. Yeah. Is any afflicted? Pray. Well, let me just read you a couple verses. Look there too. Psalm 22. Brother Nathan said if we had iPads and everybody had their iPad on the same page, we'd cut off 15 minutes of the service. It'd take me 15 minutes to figure out where it's at. Amen. All right. So, Psalm 22 and verse 24. And I do not think that's the right verse. Maybe it is. Yep, it is. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. I like that. Amen. God has not thought lightly of the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Now, if you have an affliction, then you are the afflicted. And if you are the afflicted, then you have a father that is touched with every feeling of your infirmity through Jesus Christ. Turn over to Psalm 50. We could look at every psalm maybe, but we don't have that kind of time. Let's all say amen. Psalm 50, this is a psalm of Asaph. Verse 15, and call upon me in that day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now, what do we pray for? Well, if you're like Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10, what did Paul pray? Remove it. I don't know if I'm the only carnal person here or not, but the very first thing when affliction comes, I ask God to get it out of the way. Say, well, preacher, you ought not to ask that. Well, I sure do. I don't like affliction. The Apostle Paul, turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, or chapter 12. Paul said he sought the Lord thrice for this. All right? He said, now his was given lest he should be exalted above measure. Now I know that we don't have any proud people in the service tonight. We're all humble servants of the Lord. But he said there was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Man, ain't that a way to go through life? God letting the devil keep you humble. For this thing, in verse number 8, I besought the Lord thrice. Now, I do not believe that Paul just prayed three times in succession. I believe it was probably fasting in prayer, very intense prayer for God to remove this. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul changed his mind and said, bring them on. Just lay them on me. And boy, God did, didn't he? But he found God faithful. So I think all of us at some point, God removed this. When somebody, you get that urgent message, oh, so-and-so's in the hospital, what do we want? God, heal him quick, get him out. Well, amen, that's what we pray. I mean, if you're any kind of a Christian, that's what you pray. We need to pray for wisdom, according to James 1:5. If any man among you lack wisdom. You know, there's wisdom to be learned in every affliction. Just think, if David had never went through those afflictions, what we would not have. The book of Psalms. Think if the Apostle Paul had not gone through those afflictions. We would think that God is being mean to us. Just think if Job had never went through those afflictions, we would never have been taught about patience. Just think if Abraham and all the other great patriarchs of God had not gone through the afflictions, what we would have missed in the Scripture. Let me say this. If you are not going through affliction from time to time, then you are missing out on God's grace. But you need God's wisdom so that you can help others. What does Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? The comfort that we got with God, we're to use to comfort others in their time of trouble and problems. That's why whenever somebody goes through affliction, those that have been through it already can come alongside them and help them and say, listen, I know what you're going through. This is how I got through it. Affliction. But might I say this? I think there's a danger in affliction of being a bad testimony for God. Murmuring like the children of Israel did. I think you can use your affliction, or your affliction can use you possibly in that case to turn people away from God. Listen, the way the Christian handles affliction ought to be much different than the way the world handles it. I'm not saying we ought not to be troubled over it. We ought not to pray about it. We maybe ought to weep about it. I'm just saying the way we handle it ought to be vastly different than the way the world handles it. We have a God that's in control and a God that loves us and cares for us. And therefore, we ought to handle it different. Well, point number two, go back to James. I don't know if there's a point, but there's a point. Amen. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Pray. Is any merry? Let him sing. Now, I don't know if you caught this or not, but you can't just be silent in either case. And by the way, they're two extremes. Over here is this guy going through all kinds of trouble, and he's praying. And over here is this guy who has been blessed in his life, and he's to be singing. That means we're to recognize God in all conditions that we go through. Sure are. The word is any merry, it means to have a mind that is well. Free from trouble. That's what it means. Free from affliction. Free from trouble. Free from stress. Say, man, preacher, God's just been good to me. Then listen, you have no other business but to be praising God. Singing. I think that's, maybe I didn't read that right. Let me read it. Is any merry? Let him sing. Psalms. Sing. Psalms. I read over there where God said he drew me up out of the miry clay, put my feet upon a solid rock, he established my goings, and he put a song in my, that was mouth. Mouth. Heart. Out of the heart to my, somebody ought to look it up. We get it right. Put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Amen? Yeah. I mean, man, if you're delivered out of the affliction, man, there's something to sing about. I once was lost, but now I'm saved. There's something to sing about. Man, if you're down in the pits, you're down in the despair of life, there and you, God delivers you, there's something to sing about. Amazing grace and sweet love of God and all of those things we sing about. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, God wants us to be vocal either way. If you're in affliction, pray. And pray with those that are in affliction. If you are not in affliction at this moment, sing songs unto the Lord. So I ain't got nothing to sing about. Well, maybe God will give you something to pray about. I think I'd choose the singing over the praying in this setting. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, sometimes God just been good, better to us. God has been better to us than we deserve. And you know what? We never even whistle. A cheerful countenance, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. It's evident that some of God's people are not merry. Just look at yourself. And it's evident that you're not married. So if you're not married, by the way, those seem to be the only two conditions there are. Either you're married or else you're afflicted. And if you're afflicted, that's the way some look in the mirror, amen, afflicted, then you need to pray until God delivers you out of the distress that you're in. And you come over here and you've got a song in your heart to God for His goodness and His grace. Boy, I tell you what, I've been blessed. I was listening to Miss Rachel play that song, God Mansion Over the Hilltop. I got more excited over the piano music than I did the singing. I thought, glory to God. If I could play that like you, sister, or better. I don't know if we get to play the piano in heaven or not. I don't know what all is up there. But I'll tell you what, man, I got to rejoicing and thinking, man, if I was going to play any song, that's the song I'd want to play right there. And until she played this morning, I thought, boy, that was a good one too. Amen. Man, they're just something that stirs up. I mean, if God's been good to you and you're not going through any affliction, you have nothing to do but to praise God. No honky-tonk music. Just praising God. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, if the church would take heed to these two principles laid out here, affliction, pray. But man, if God's been good to you, you're halfway healthy. You're halfway sane. Man, you ought to be shouting her out. I love that song Brother Jason sang. Amen? That's good singing, Brother Jason. Man, I'm telling you what, we ought to have a church that just lifts the roof off this building every Sunday, if God's been good. I mean, if we're married, we ought to be singing. So I can't sing. Doesn't say that there. It doesn't say if you're married and can sing, sing. It says anybody marry, let him sing. Well, you know what, preacher, I'm just a little bit backward. Doesn't say that there. It says if you're married, sing. Sing praises unto God. Let everything that hath breath praise God. Listen, there is something about us that God just does for us that ought to just bring us into bursting praise unto God. I think so many times we just sat in the church, and my dad used to have a saying, like a knot on a log. Amen? And we do nothing to honor God for how good He has been to us. The least I could do is just sing. Say, well, you know, if you ever heard you sing, yeah, I've heard me sing, and it ain't worth a hoot, but God said sing anyway. Well, I'll tell you, that's what good singing does. It drowns us out that can't. Man, I'm telling you. God said, is any merry? Is any well-hearted? Has anybody got a clear mind and a clear heart today? Free from trouble. Sing. Boy, sing. 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 Boy, David got into praising God. Now, it wasn't what we're seeing around America today in these liberal-hearted churches. But man, he got them instruments together. David was a musician himself, and he said, now we're going to have us some singing. And he got them priests and them sons of Asaph and all them other guys up there, and he said, now we need some violin players, and we need some piano players, and we need some guitar players, and we need some this players and that player. And he said, now I'm going to count to three, and we're going. And man, they were just, and everybody had their chorus, and they had that great choir that would sing. And worship on the Lord's Day back then was a special thing. By the way, it ought to be a special thing today. You ought to come in here. You ought to come. The Bible says, enter the gates of the Lord, or enter the house of the Lord. Enter the gates of the Lord with praise. Not grumbling. I know nobody grumbled tonight coming to church, but you know, you might know somebody that did. Amen. And grumbling. No, praise God. Let me tell you, you cannot murmur and praise at the same time. Murmuring will always outdo it. So the only way to overcome a bad spirit about church is just start praising God for how good He is. How good He is. How good He is. Start singing. Say, I don't know any songs. Then copy one. There's all kinds of music. Brother Seth the other day gave me a CD of him, of his sister and, and his mom and his other sister singing, maybe his sister-in-law, whichever it was. And he said, "Here, Brother Tim, I'm giving these away." I said, "Are they so poor that you can't sell them?" He said, "No." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Really, they are." Said, "But you know, there's all kinds of music out there that we've had here in our church that you could buy, that put in, and you could learn a song here and there. You could at least learn a melody of some sort. There's within my heart a melody." I think I read that in the songbook, amen. Psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, things that are going to lift you up, things that are going to cause you just to look at how good God is. See, singing, singing is used to exalt the Lord for how good He is. Now the devil's taken it to exalt how good he is to this lost and dying world and has disgraced it even in the church. But I tell you, Bible singing, Bible singing, Bible singing, Bible singing has got something in the heart and in the spirit that raises you up. And God's pleased whenever His people are praising Him. In fact, the Bible says He inhabits the praise of His people. Yeah. "Well, man, preacher, I'm going through some afflictions and problems and difficulties." Oh, there's something for you to do. Pray. Pray. "Well, preacher, God delivered me out of that. Boy, I tell you what, God's been good." Then sing. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Man, I mean, there's something to sing about. Yeah, I'm telling you. The devil suppresses us. You don't have anything to sing about. He's a liar. I said he's a liar. You have something to sing about. I know you all can't see it, but here's Brother Andrew. I get tickled at watching his face whenever he's leading songs. I get as much joy out of watching him sing as I do listening to him sing. And I'm thinking to myself, if I was a choir person, I couldn't sing. But man, he's into it. I'm telling you, he's giving it all of his heart. I'm getting a blessing out of watching. Amen. Wednesday night, Cassandra's little boy, Bentley, was up there at the church, and Andrew's up there singing. Next thing you know, I was in the back whenever he started. He got everybody singing. Next thing you know, Bentley's like this. Man, he's watching him go. Every how he does it. All three, four songs, man, he was back there just helping him along. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, you say, "Well, I can't sing like so and so." Who cares? Sing. 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 Is any merry? Let him sing. "Well, I'll tell you what, I'd sing, but it's just so bad." Then pray. "Well, it ain't that bad." Then sing. "Well, it ain't that good." I got it. Is any sick? You're just sick if it's not bad and it's not good. Remember Jesus, what he said? He said, "This generation reminds me of those people who we went." Brother Perkle put it like this. He said, they didn't like the wedding music and they didn't like the funeral music. That's what he said. That's the way he interpreted that verse. I like it. Amen. They don't like the wedding music. Dum, dum, da, dum. Woo-hoo! Or "Low in the Grave He Lay." They don't like either of them. You know, there's some Christians sitting here tonight. I shouldn't have said that, sitting here. Maybe sitting here tonight. I mean, they're not afflicted, but they're not happy. And they're just in I got the word. Lord just gave it to me. Lukewarm. And God's going to spew them out of His mouth. "Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't afflicted, but I ain't happy either." We used to have a lady back in our home church, and she wasn't happy unless she was afflicted. I tell you, it's a hoot. You know, we're some of the strangest people. God's been so good to us, and we'll just sit here and say, "Well, you know, it's going to get bad. Might as well not sing today because you know it's going to get bad one of these days." And if you're over here, "Well, there ain't nothing to sing about. God's been so mean to me." Good night. Are you afflicted? Pray. Are you merry? Sing. don't know if y'all are getting it or not. I'm sure having a good time telling it. Sing, 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 sing. Well, preacher, man, I'm going through deep troubles and problems. Pray. Here's the summary. Either way, God hears. If you're brokenhearted, He hears. If you're singing, He's hearing. But if you're silent, you're sinning. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin. You say, well, maybe we ought to practice singing tonight. You know, we ought to have choir practice right now. Brother Andrew ain't here, I'll just leave. Maybe we ought to sing like we're saved. Sing like we're blessed. Ephesians says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. Boy, can you imagine? Can you imagine getting to heaven and sitting there? Chuck Schumer. Get to reality, boy. If I had to look like that, I wouldn't look. Amen. Sadly, that's the way some Christians look. They're just looking down their nose all the time. God is in God. God ain't good. Man, I'll tell you, God's so good. Let me tell you, God better to you than what you deserve. You deserve a devil's hell. And anything you get other than that, God's blessed you with a family. Man, you got something to sing about. They in church, you really got something to sing about. They're saved, you got everything to sing about. Glory to God. You're healthy, you've got something to sing about. You're able to move. Man, I get down here on my knees and I thank God almost every time. Lord, I thank you for the health to bow my knees. There's some people that can't do that. Boy, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God's good. You got a half wit of your mind left. You ought to thank God for it. But you can think. Man, I think of poor Maxine and lost her mind. Man, I don't want to live like that. She can't help it. Man, if you can think for yourself today, you ought to praise God for it. Man, if you can get up out of the bed and dress yourself, man, you ought to thank God for it. If God can let you do something for Him, you ought to thank God for it. Man, there's something to sing about.